Hello, Grinders, and welcome back to the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here on this beautiful Friday. You guys know when you listen to my content, I'm always here on Fridays, and the one thing I like about Fridays, guys, is we have a big 15-game slate. Again, love Tuesdays and Fridays in the industry. It gives us tons of differentiation in your cash games, in your tournaments as well. Feels like I haven't done this podcast in a while because we had the All-Star break. Hopefully, you guys are nice and refreshed after the break. It's definitely a fun time in the industry. We got football coming around the corner, and when football comes, that's when like things just don't stop. Life just seems like it goes quick, and we're always doing something. So enjoy like the last month here of the daily grind, because baseball is definitely a time where there's a little less work involved, and then once NFL comes, and then NBA, NHL, all those other sports, it starts to get really crazy. But we got a nice 15 game slate here to talk about, and it's a really good one. Yesterday you had that ugly pitching slate, and I didn't look ahead, but yesterday I was saying, man, I'm sure we're gonna have some really good pitchers on the mound, and we do today. This should be an awesome overall slate. So let's dive right in and kind of talk about it. First game on the slate for you guys, we have the Baltimore Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays. Is an 8.5 total with Andrew Kashner and Chris Archer. And there's going to be some weather possibly in this game. That's one thing. I'm not going to talk about any weather. I know David Walter's taking care of it. So Roth won't be on today, but Walter will be kind of giving the details on that. But this is a game, if there isn't weather, like Kashner, I think, is an interesting guy to target with some of these lefties, right? Especially like a Jacob Bowers. That's really where I'm looking, like a Cron, a G-Man Choi. Really kind of like that 3-5-man stack for some power on the Rays. If you want to go with a mini stack like that's kind of where I'm thinking right now. I don't want to go too crazy with Rays. They're not a team I love to go and stack up like crazy. Sure, if you want to like throw in like a Duffy and Kiermaier in there to make your five man, I get it, or throw in a Bob and the other guy like a Jesus Sucre if he's in there, or a Malik Smith for the wraparound with another guy, I get it. But I'm not really going crazy with the Rays today. I think they're like a nice team that you take some of these guys as a one-off, like Bowers and Cron and G-Man Choi, take them as one-offs or move them in as like mini stacks and kind of call it a day here. Because Kashner, sure, he's a guy that we've been targeting this year, but it seems like he's kind of just found a way to make it work, right? Like one of those magicians in the MLB that even though the hard contact's there, the ISO, he gets hit some days just finds a way to get out of it. And ISO against lefties is 241, against righties it's 170. The wOBA is above 360 to both sides of the plate, and then just the odd thing is the hard contact is at 29% against lefties and 33% against righties. And fly ball rate's at least up against lefties. There's obviously some good things going against him, but it's just he's been really weird this season. So Kashner's a guy I do like to target, and I think you can get some exposure with these mini stacks on the Rays. Chris Archer's a guy that I like. I'm a fan of him in like the long run, but I have not played him that much this season, and this does seem like a great spot for Archer if you think about it. Sure, the ballpark's not in his favor. That's something that obviously we don't love taking pitchers in this ballpark. But I will say this, it is a team that's really right-handed heavy. Archer coming off a 13-strikeout game against Miami. A game before that had 7 strikeouts. I mean, he's looking a lot better. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be one of those spots where I play him. The weather's obviously going to be something that kind of plays into it a little bit and has a factor. Like I said, Archer, he's had some struggles this year, but overall, 3.64 xFIP. The K percentage is at 25.6%. If you look at the premium reports and kind of look at the trends too, that we have the hard contact. Let me see. It looks like it's down a ton. Oh no, I was on the wrong thing. The hard contact. Yeah, it's down a ton, but that's because of you can't really get the last 30 days because of that's not going to work out there because of injuries and whatnot that he had. So that's kind of unfortunate. But either way, I like Archer. He's a guy that I'm kind of buying in on, and I think that he's someone that I kind of want to buy in the second half and see what happens, because like we've seen him do pretty well so far since he's coming back from that injury when he was dealing with it in June. And then Detroit, sure, it didn't go the greatest, but Minnesota and Miami was good starts. Let's just chalk it up to that first start. I kind of think I want to buy in on Archer, and I think he's a great tournament play if this game goes. I'm not really going to play too many Orioles. If you want to take a shot on like a Chris Davis or something for cheap, sure, go ahead, but I never play that guy, and I'm not really starting now. I think it's okay to pass on that. Like Adam Jones and Trumbo, again, they're just on the right-handed side of the plate, and I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking this righty-heavy lineup could really be great for Archer, and he could absolutely crush in this matchup. All right, next game up, we got the New York Yankees and the Kansas City Royals is a 9.5 total with CeCe Sabathia against Brad Keller in Yankee Stadium. This is going to be a spot where the Yankees are one of the best offenses of the day. It's no joke. Everyone knows it. It's no secret, I should say. And this team isn't a joke, I should say that too. This is Brad Keller. This is this bad Kansas City bullpen. I mean, if if I could tell you any type of pitching staff I would want to have for nine innings against the Yankees in the stadium, this might be the staff, because again, their starters aren't that great, and on top of that, their bullpen is awful. So this is just nine innings of pure gold. I'm going to be loading up on the Yankees here. I think it makes sense. I think it's the chalk. I think people will be all over it. One through nine, they're all phenomenal plays. It just depends on what lineup they end up putting out there. So that's going to be a lineup that we have to watch for. You can play every single guy in this lineup and just look for the value, right, on the guys that are cheap if you can, right? Look for where you can get Gardner for cheap. Like FanDuel specifically, he's cheap at 3.2K. I'm not going to, you know, probably pay 4.7K for Brett Gardner on DraftKings when I can get him for Stanton for 4.6K instead. It's also worth noting that Aaron Judge will not be in this lineup. Sure, it's a little more worded down without Aaron Judge, but they're just going to slide in Aaron Hicks there and kind of call it a day, and their team will still look perfectly fine. So, yeah, all in all, I like this team a lot. Definitely load up on them. Yankees are going to be one of the best plays of the day. Kansas City Royals now. Let's talk about them a little against CC Sabathia. And it seems like a spot I would, you know, like, but CC, he's just, again, he's one of those guys. He's had a pretty good year. He's found a way to get it done. I know there's some data showing that in July, CC Sabathia really does fall off. So if you want to go back with a game stack and add some Royals on here, I wouldn't mind it. I'm also not really a big fan of loading up on Royals. That's something I don't like to do. And on top of that, it's against that Yankees bullpen that we could see if CC pitches pretty clean. So I'm kind of just thinking we stay away from the Royals. But if you wanted to game stack it up, right, I'd probably run five Yankees, and then I'd probably run it with Salvador Perez, Whit Merrifield, and then Moustakas. Kind of keep it really simple. Maybe if you don't want to go Moustakas, even though I don't mind him as lefty-lefty, who cares, it's Mike Moustakas. You obviously go with like a Bonifacio, but that kind of wraps up this game. Again, Yankees are one of the top plays of the day. Next game up, New York Mets, Pittsburgh Pirates. And man, this is a game that I'm probably going to get a lot of exposure to, specifically because of the prices on these Pirates. They have a 4.9 implied total against a garbage pitcher like Jason Vargas. And we look at these Pirates, we can get them at really cheap salaries. For instance, on FanDuel specifically, if we get Jordan Luplo at batting first at 2.1K, I'm gonna load up on him. David Freese, if he's in the four hole at 2.1K, it's tough not to have some interest in him. He'll be in the player pool. Those are just guys I'm definitely gonna be considering. All these cheap Pirates. Cervelli's gonna be interesting. Just all in all, sure, the Pirates aren't the greatest offense, but they are a team that's hitting the ball pretty well this week, and I think I'm gonna have to, you know, take advantage of those salaries against a really bad pitcher. If you look over on DraftKings, sure, the salaries aren't as great, right? There are still some good price tags. Freese has a good one. Cervelli, Luplo. Yeah, there's still some nice prices on some of these guys. Starling Marte at 5.2K, I won't probably play for him. If you want to do a tournament, sure, but I'm probably not going to pay that in my cash games or anything like that. But if you want to stack up the Pirates, I do think that they're a good stack, team that you can get some exposure to, and they would make sense with a really expensive pitcher, right? I always talk about when there's an expensive ace, which we got a couple on this slate that are really good options, who's the cheap stack I would look to go to? And it's probably going to be maybe a little bit chalkier, but the Pirates, I do think they're going to gain some ownership. But again, this is a 15-game slate. Don't worry about ownership. That's honestly what I should be saying rather than talking about ownership, because again, 15-game slate, it does not matter as much as we think on these big slates. Next team to talk about, we'll talk about the Mets a little bit, because sure, the Mets, our offense has gotten a little bit better. They've been hitting the ball, but I don't know. Nova is a guy I just don't target. It's just for some reason, I'm just not in the business of doing it. It just has never worked for me. It's not something I'm ever like, yeah, let me stack up against Nova. And then it's like, why am I trying to pick the one off the one guy or a couple guys that are maybe going to get like a solid hit, right? You know, maybe have like an RBI double. Why am I looking for that or that big home run? I just don't know why I'm kind of going out of my way to do that. If you look at Nova's numbers, sure, he doesn't strike out guys, but that's why I don't play him in DFS. Only a 17.2 strikeout percentage. Then his walk percentage is 4.1, and he's got a 3.87 xFIP. It's just something I don't like to do. He does have some struggles against lefties, so if you are going to take some shots, and the Mets are a team that have some good lefties, I'd take shots on those guys. The WOBA against lefties, 358. The ISO is 218. This is definitely a spot where if you want to take some Mets lefties, I wouldn't hate it, and I'm not going to load up on them, right? Because Nova's not a guy that just blows up. It just, that's not what happens to him. So if you look at this Mets lineup, pulling it up again now, Conforto in the three hole, obviously it's where we have him projected. I like him. He's normally towards the top of the order. He's normally someone I kind of gravitate towards as one of the better lefties. Same with Nemo. He's another guy that I kind of look to. He's had a pretty good year. So those are two of the guys I'd mainly look at. And Estrubel Cabrera, I don't hate him. If you wanted to mini stack that, go for it, and then that's it. But I'm not going crazy with Mets. Again, I'm not in the business of like loading up on Nova. I'd rather just take a shot here and there on guys. If I'm building like 150 teams, sure, I want some exposure to some of these lefties, but I kind of want to mix and match throughout my lineups, not like all loaded up on the same team. Let's talk about the next game. We got the Minnesota Twins and the Boston Red Sox, 8.5 total with Chris Sale against Lance Lynn. And man, Lance Lynn is going to be a fun guy to target today. You know, load up on Betts, Benintendi, Martinez, Moreland, Bogarts, that whole team, Devers. This Red Sox team is one of the better stacks of the day. They're going to be one you want to look at. Got to load up on them, and it's all Red Sox, baby. Give me Chris Sale. Best pitcher probably in the league, best pitcher on the slate, even though Max Scherzer's there against Miami. I'm going Sale. That's where I'm at right now. I just think he is the better option today. Sure, there could be some things throughout the day. I don't know if, like, umpire data is out. I actually haven't looked to see if any umpire data is out because, again, normally isn't up there on Fridays. But, yeah, Scherzer actually has a pitcher's ump, so there's that if you, you know, look at the premium. And then there's a neutral ump for Chris Sale. We have that in our Roto-Grinders premium, or I'm sure you can locate that on other sites. But if you want that, it's easily in the lineup HQ there. So neutral umpire for Chris Sale and a pitcher's ump for Scherzer. Again, I don't know. That. With aces, it doesn't matter to me as much, but maybe that gives you a bump to go Scherzer over Sale if you're really looking at the tiebreakers like that. I could totally understand that. Maybe I'm also looking at Sale over Scherzer because I got burned by Scherzer against Miami the other time it happened this season, and it's definitely I've definitely been burned by Scherzer more than Sale, so maybe my bias is building in there, but I really want to go Sale. It's just Minnesota is such a, you know, they're just have not been good against lefties all season long. Their ISO has been way down. This is definitely a spot there. I just think it's a really great spot for him, and he's going to absolutely be lights out. Just the question is the prices too between the two guys as well. Let's look at some of the sites. So FanDuel, 12.8K for Chris Sale or 11.5K for Scherzer. It's definitely easier to get in that top end pitcher on FanDuel, but maybe that extra, you know, 1.3K could do something for you. I think it's a real conversation on FanDuel. I'm gonna put Sale in first when I do my builds over there, but you know, I could see as I build my teams maybe gravitating over towards Scherzer because of the price you know, difference. Now if you look at DraftKings, you got Sale at 13.5K and Scherzer at 13.9K. Really easy for me. I'm just gonna say goodbye to Max Scherzer and I'm gonna say hello Chris Sale. He's the guy I want on DraftKings. Gonna be firing on him over you know, Scherzer. And then if you look at Fantasy Draft, we have them at the exact same price tag, which I kind of like how they did that. You know, force you to make the decision. It doesn't matter what your build is. You just kind of pick the one you want. I'm assuming more people gravitate towards Sale. That's where I'm at. I think that's the guy you want to go to, and maybe that makes Max Scherzer interesting in tournaments on Fantasy Draft specifically, but that's something you have to look at ownership and compare on site, so it just kind of depends what's going on there, but all in all, Chris Sale, he's one of my favorite options of the day. And load up on Red Sox. I didn't talk about their bats a lot, but, you know, they're tough to get in your lineups because they cost a lot. But I will say this, if there is a guy that I want to get some value on, like Devers at 6.3K and Moreland 8.5K, I think there's some extreme value on there over at Fantasy Draft. You know, DraftKings, you get Moreland at 4.1 is solid. Devers at 3.5 is pretty nice on DraftKings, so that's really great. And then you got on FanDuel, you got, yeah, Moreland again, 3.4K is a really nice price on him, and then Devers 2.9. Again, those are like the guys I'm really going to maybe try and get in my cash games with my top-end pitching, but if I could obviously get Betts and Martinez, sure, I'm very happy about that as well, and they're definitely some of the top bats on the entire slate. Let's go to the next game, Washington Nationals, Miami Marlins here. This is a game that, again, we talked about Scherzer a little bit, but let's talk about it a little more. I think more people will gravitate towards Sale, but I do think Scherzer is perfectly in play. He could absolutely have a great game. There are some bats that scare me a little bit. JT Realmuto has been really good this season. Justin Bour, he's been solid. Sure, the Marlins are a team. They don't have as much power as you would think, but they can be a little bit pesky at times and cause some fits for some pitchers, but I still think Max Scherzer is going to do fine and have a really good outing. So Scherzer is a good option. Definitely go to him. But you know, again, talking about the Sale versus Scherzer debate, you know, it's like deciding, do you want steak or lobster for dinner? They're both phenomenal options tonight. Let's go over and kind of talk about Pablo Lopez now. And I think this is a great spot to target up some Nationals, especially these lefties. That's what I'm really looking at. You know, Eaton, Harper, Adam, Soto, Murphy. That's what I love about this team. Whenever I see a right-handed pitcher, I love these lefties in here. And then you just throw in Trey Turner, too. They're just a phenomenal offense. The ballpark's not the greatest, but I do think they're a stack that people are really not going to talk about or play. And, you know, it won't take much percentage to get over the weight on the field. So I like the Nationals. I think you can just get a little bit of the, you know, weight on them and be fine. You could even maybe just go even with the field just to make sure you're exposed to this offense if you don't want that much of a percentage, because I just don't think people are going to play them today. Maybe I'm wrong, but they're going to look at this game and see 4.38 total, see the Miami park, and say, oh, there's just more appealing options. They'd rather spend their money elsewhere, so I kind of think that's the way that they are going to go. But there are, I think there's some good options in this game. You know, Matt Adams, he has a really nice price. Eaton, there's some good guys you can mix and match throughout your cash games as well. Next game up, we got the Philadelphia Phillies. Cincinnati Reds is a 9 total here. And we got Nick Pivetta on the mound again. Anthony Desclafani. And one thing to note, too, is, you know, as Cardi called, the Clayton Kershaw of umpires in this game. Bill Miller's in this game. He calls a lot of strikes. So I kind of think this is a game where, you know, obviously I like the bats. I'm definitely going to play some of them. You know, it's a 9 total here. Desclafani's in there. But I might temper my expectations a little bit because of the extreme pitcher's umpire. It's tough. I do like Pivetta. He's a guy that I'm, you know, bullish on in the future. I'm buying in on. I want to be playing a lot of throughout the season. If you told me during this MLB season, hey, like, you want to be over the weight or underweight on the entire season of playing Pivetta compared to the field, I want to be overweight. I want to make sure I play him more than most people do because I like Pivetta and I buy in on him. But kind of looking at the things with Pivetta, it's a great matchup for him. You know, he can strike out all these guys. The Reds, their lineup's gotten better. It's Peraza, Jeanette, Votto, Suarez, who's been scary as anything, man. Barnhart, Duvall, Irvin. That lineup's definitely a little bit better than it was at the start of the year, but Pivetta's been good this season. 27.9 strikeout percentage, 3.2 on xFIP. I also could see people saying, hey, it's in Great American Small Park, obviously Great Home Run Park. I could see people basically saying, I don't want to play Pivetta. And if that's the case, we can get him really low owned with the umpire. I kind of think it's a good spot to play him. If people are going to have ownership on him, then I really don't want to play him. So it's kind of like one of those things I need to monitor throughout the day what goes on. He's 8.2K on DraftKings, 8.1 on FanDuel, and Fantasy Draft, he's 15.8K. Again, against this Reds team, they can strike out a ton. I do think this is a spot where we can kind of look to target this team a little bit. They definitely have the K rate that we can definitely have a big, massive tournament win. So I wouldn't just totally write him off. It does stink that, the weather, 80 degrees, wind's blowing out 8 miles an hour. It's definitely something to look at there and definitely just kind of get a little interest. So I'm going to try and be overweight on Pivetta. If it doesn't take too much percentage, I kind of have to see what happens throughout the day. Let's talk about Desclafani a little bit because, again, this Phillies offense is a very boom-bust offense. We saw it yesterday. I could see it again today. I do think they're worth stacking up. If you want to take some shots on some of these guys, I don't hate it. I like Abdubel Herrera. I think he's a really good option. You know, Santana, he's fine too, but I don't know. I just don't know. They seem like a team. The more and more I talk about it, it just seems like a team that I want to play. I like playing the Phillies, but they kind of just end up like getting out of the player pool for me, even though I like them a lot. But if you're playing 150 lines, which I'm not doing today, but if you are, I could see definitely getting a percentage of them. Let's talk about the Cleveland Indians. Detroit Tigers, 8.5 total with Carlos Carrasco and Mike Fiers. And Carrasco, he's a guy that I've kind of been taking the wait-and-see approach. I haven't really wanted to play him. It has been the right slates for him since he came back from his injury. But the Tigers, right, they are not good against righties. This seems like a really good spot. Just the question is, can you pay that expensive price on Carrasco? He's 10K on FanDuel. DraftKings, he's 11.4K. And then Fantasy Draft, he's 22.4K. And it's tough because I just see myself saying, hey, I'd rather play Scherzer. I'd rather play Sale. And if you hear me saying that, you're probably hearing everyone in the industry say that. You're going to hear someone on, you know, another podcast and on another site. You're going to hear on the Roto-Grinders show later, just people say, I don't know if I really want Carrasco. I think that's just what's going to kind of happen throughout the day. And that might make him a really interesting tournament option. So I don't hate missing out. I don't hate not having him, but I kind of am worried a little about missing out because this Tigers offense is not good against righties. This is definitely a good spot to target. So yeah, Carrasco, he's a perfectly fine tournament option if you want to. Look at the Cleveland Indians offense. I kind of got on board with just playing them at home and then just fading them on the road. Sure, Mike Fiers, he's a home run prone guy, but he's also a guy that he can have those big strikeout games. And you know what? They're expensive priced on the Indians. I'm playing the Red Sox before him. I'm playing the Yankees before him. I'm playing a lot of other guys before him. So I'm just kind of fading this game and maybe getting a piece of Carrasco in tournaments. And that's about it for me because I don't know. I'm just following that trend with the Indians, which has been going pretty decent for me, at least since I started doing it. So that's kind of my thoughts on this game. Let's head on over to the next one. We got the Los Angeles Dodgers, Atlanta Braves, 8 total here with Clayton Kershaw and Mikey Foltynewicz. And this is a game where if this was last season, I'd be saying, yeah, sure, the Braves don't strike out a ton, but this is elite Clayton Kershaw, right? But Clayton Kershaw has not been as elite. Clayton Kershaw has been good this year. He's been fine. I don't hate what he's done, but he hasn't been Matt Scherzer. He hasn't been Chris Sale. So, again, I'm gravitating more to those guys. If you look at Kershaw's last outings, I'll kind of go through them. Milwaukee, he had 6 innings pitched. He had 5 strikeouts and then ended up getting like 34 fantasy points on FanDuel. 6.2 innings pitched against the Angels. 8 strikeouts, 39 fantasy points. And then against San Diego, six innings pitch, only five strikeouts, which, you know, normally you'd probably think in six innings he'd have like nine back in the day. And then 43 fantasy points. But he's been good. I get it. I think he's a guy that you could take shots on in tournaments if you want. It is a little bit worrisome with that matchup, right? Because we look at a guy like Kershaw. He's definitely not his old self, but he's a guy that could just, you know, be unowned because everyone sees, again, they see the Braves. And what do they say? Oh, I mean, the Braves don't strike out a ton. This isn't a great matchup. I see Sale. I see Scherzer. I think you got to get a piece of Kershaw. And if you look at the overall numbers in the 2018 season, sure, he hasn't been his old Clayton Kershaw self, but he's still been really good. 2.81 xFIP, 25.1 K percentage, only walking 5.1% of guys. And really his issues have been against lefties is where he's had his struggles. You know, it's a small sample size, 71 at bats, but 331 WOBA, 203 ISO, that's against lefties, which is shocking. I don't think that's going to stay and that's going to stick. So I think that regresses down a little bit. We could have a really massive Clayton Kershaw game at no ownership. And I don't know, like I said, I love Sale and Scherzer, but when you start kind of thinking the ownership game on this, it's, and again, I know it's a 15 game slate and I kind of talked about that, but I'm just trying to think of people who are gonna want to play Kershaw because it just doesn't seem like the spot to play him. Everyone, whenever they see the Braves, they always run from him. It's something that everyone does. If you look at Kershaw's advanced numbers, the medium contact is up, the soft contact is down, the hard contact's down. You know, the swinging strike rate's fine, and so is that. The outside swinging strike rate is perfectly fine too. Sure, the ISO is up a little bit. It's from you know, past 12 months, it's 217. His ISO is at 264, and then the WOBA is up from 352 in the past 12 months to 380. So sure, it's up a little bit, but capable percentage is up 1.1% as well, so you can't complain about that. I think it's a good shot to take, you know, take a chance on him if he's going to be low on it. I think it's a great day with all these pitching options to really look at the ownership projections that Chris Gimeno puts out. Gimeno does a phenomenal job with the ownership projections, and like, just check those out, and I think you're going to have to make some decisions, at least in tournaments on that. But in cash, again, like I said, it's Sale and Scherzer are the two guys you're really truly looking at on the slate, and you know, Kershaw's price, 12.8K on DraftKings, 24.7 on Fantasy Draft, and 10.5K on FanDuel. Fulton Nevich, let's talk about him now. He's been really good this season. He's a guy that I've been playing. I just don't think this is the right spot for him against this tough Dodgers offense. I just think it's a pass. I'm going to pass on Fulton Nevich. I think I'm going to pass on the Dodgers offense too. I get it if you want to maybe take some shots. They have some really good lefties on this team, man, like with Jock, Muncy, and Grandal. And Bellinger, I mean, all those guys together, and then, you know, you can just, you know, finalize the stack up with Machado or Kemp and just play three of the lefties. It's definitely a strong lineup, and people won't see it coming. It'll definitely be low owned, and I wouldn't be shocked if it went off, right? It could totally do it. We know Fulton Nevich. Sure, he's been really good this season. He's a good pitcher overall, but we do know he can have some struggles with lefties. He hasn't this season. The ISO is down at 145. The WOBA is at 291. But in the past, he has had that that struggle, so maybe like the bad Fulton Nevich could happen. I just wouldn't be shocked, right? If you want to take on the shot on the Dodgers, don't hate it. But let's move on to the next one and kind of talk about it because I think this is a really interesting spot for this pitcher. We got the Toronto Blue Jays, the Chicago White Sox. We got Marcus Stroman against Ronaldo Lopez. And, yeah, I think Ronaldo Lopez is someone that we need to be targeting. If you want a low-owned, just, I mean, people are going to play the Jays? I don't know if they are. Maybe not low-owned, I should say. I was more so going to say low-priced team. The Blue Jays don't have, you know, expensive price tags around the industry. They're definitely sellers right now around the All-Star break, getting rid of J.A. Happ. I think this is a team, if you want to target Ronaldo Lopez, go for it with this Blue Jays stack up. I think it's a perfectly good spot. I like Granderson in cash game, Smoke. Those are two guys that I like to target, and I think this phenomenal spot against Lopez. So Blue Jays, they have a 4.75 implied total, and I think I'm going to definitely get some exposure to them. But I really want to talk about Marcus Stroman because White Sox against righties is the thing that we've been doing all year, right? We are always like White Sox against righties, White Sox against righties, White Sox against righties. And this White Sox lineup's getting a little better. Sure, that addition of Nicky Delmonico shouldn't like move the needle, but it's definitely getting me to, you know, as we added some guys, right? We added Polka. We added, who else we added in there? We added Avisel Garcia. As we keep adding guys throughout the year, I'm starting to get a little worried about the White Sox against righties. I'm not worried completely. There's still strikeouts there, but it's not as righty heavy of as the lineup as you think, right? We got one righty in Abreu, one in Avisel Garcia, and then one in Tim Anderson. So we only have three righties, it looks like, in our projected lineup. So he's going to have to go through six lefties, which, sure, Stroman's very good too. He's maybe he's not very good. He was very good in the past, but He hasn't been as great this year, but this seems like the spot where he would absolutely crush, right? Where we could take advantage of a guy who has had some struggles this season in Marcus Stroman, and he doesn't have a ton of strikeouts, but he's going against that, you know, team that has a huge strikeout rate. So 3.52 xFIP for Stroman. The K percentage is at 18.6%. Again, that can kind of get boost because of the offense he's going against. I do worry because the White Sox, they can be powerful at times and they can be a little bit scary. And this, again, this is in Chicago, where it is a better hitter's park than people think. So I think it's worth taking a shot on Stroman, though, but worry that there is some blow-up risk here. I am a little concerned against this White Sox team as it keeps getting stronger and stronger, but there is a ton of strikeout upside. Again, this is not a guy that has a ton of strikeout upside in Stroman, but it just kind of depends if you want to risk the possible blow-up spot for Stroman for the possible boost in Ks that he could get in a matchup he doesn't normally have at his price, too. He's 7.3K on DraftKings, and then on Fantasy Draft, 14.5K, and FanDuel, 8K. So I think he's decent as an SP2 to consider, and just worth noting on this slate. Let's talk about the Rangers now and the Houston Astros. That's the next game up, 8.5 total. Yovani Gallardo and Dallas Keuchel. And this is a spot where Keuchel, sure, if it was a slate where there weren't so many aces, I'd probably consider him. He's been pretty good this season. He doesn't get a ton of Ks, but against this Rangers team, that's very, a lot of their batters that are good are lefty, are left-handed, and it's a very left-handed heavy lineup at times. When they throw in those ugly righties, I'm just not scared of them. So it seems like a spot you could play Keuchel, and 3.14 implied total. I think you can play him, and if you want to, sure, but I do worry that you're not paying for enough upside for him. That's kind of the one worry I have, at least on FanDuel, 9.5K. Fantasy Draft and DraftKings, a little different because he could become your SP2, right? He could become in play if you have enough value at your hitters. I could see getting away with it at 9.1K and at 17.8K, but again, I worry I'm just not getting the upside, and I hate paying for guys that are not really giving me the upside. So that's one of the things I'm slightly worried about with this one. So sure, I think Keuchel's in play as an SP2, but he's not one of my favorites. Not an absolute smash that I think is just going to be a lock for a ton of upside from a point per dollar perspective. Let's talk Gallardo a little bit here. I do think this is a spot that we should play some Astros. They're definitely an offense that you want to get some exposure to. Reddick is definitely one of the lefties as a value play. Again, we're trying to play expensive pitchers today, so he's a value that I would definitely look to. Gurriel's another value that I kind of like that I think we get some exposure to, and Gattis at like 4, 5, 6, I think, are the guys I would look at, because it's tough to pay for Springer and Bregman and Altuve, because I'm just spending my money in other ways. If you want to stack the Astros up, you should. They're a very good team to stack up today on today's slate. Let's talk about the next team. Chicago Cubs, St. Louis Cardinals, Mike Montgomery and Luke Weaver. And I really don't know what to do with this game. I always have like one of these on each slate, and this feels like the game where I'm just like, sure, Weaver can have his struggles and Montgomery can, but I don't love the offenses and I don't love the pitchers. I'm just kind of torn at what to do with this game. Both Weaver and Montgomery, they're not, generating a lot of strikeouts. Their xFIPs are solid, right? They're not great, but 4.24 for Weaver, 4.14 for Montgomery just doesn't seem like a good spot to target the bats or target the hitters. That's kind of where I'm at right now at this game. So maybe this is the cross-off game of the slate for me. It's just kind of leaning towards that right now. I just don't know what to do with it, so I'm gonna move on, I guess. I get it, right? If you want to say, hey, Rizzo against a guy like Weaver could do something, sure, he could, right? You could target some of these lefties. I wouldn't hate that, or like a Hap. And then with, of course, see Montgomery, of course, a righty heavy team in the Cardinals, I get it. But this is just not a game I like, and there's other games I like, and you can't play everyone. So I'm gonna move on from this game, and let's go and talk about the Oakland A's and the Colorado Rockies. This is 11.5 total here with Sean Manaea against Kyle Freeland. And hey, it's a core slate, right? Too. I haven't even mentioned that with all the good offenses on this slate, all the expensive pitchers, it's also a core slate. So we got Sean Manaea in there, and we got a lefty on the mound against Arenado and Story, who are two guys I love to pay for. If you have the money, sure. It's just tough because I'm kind of prioritizing paying up for a pitcher, so it's really tough to figure out what am I going to do to get these bats in. It's one of those things, I think, on like a DraftKings or a fantasy draft, it's interesting to maybe try your best to punt at pitcher, so if you think the bats and the top end pitcher are best and you just want to take whatever you can get at your SB2, I could get it and understand it, but it's not something I love to say. But I'm just kind of like thinking, what's the best way to get these big bats in? And that's a way you could do it, obviously, because I'm not missing out on one of these top end pitchers. I can promise you that right now. That's not happening. So I'll definitely will be playing him for sure. So but let's talk about Coors again a little bit. Have to like those righties. I think they're a good stack today. I think a lot of people are gonna be looking at the Yankees. I think they're gonna be the team that people more so load up on instead. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but of course, again, it's a big slate. I think you can get some exposure to it, and the ownership will be lower than you think, right? It's not going to just have this inflated, you know, percentages on these guys like you would normally typically think. So all in all, you know, of course, it's just load up on it. We also have Freeland on the opposite side against a hot Oakland team. I mean, they've been swinging a hot stick. I get playing them. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking I'm just going to stay away. If you're playing tournaments, obviously, if you're playing tournaments, I'm not staying away from Coors. I'm just kind of like thinking cash games. It just seems like I'm not going to be able to get up to these prices on these guys. I'm not saying Freeland's been, you know, amazing this year, but he hasn't been bad with a 4.21 exit, ground balls at 50%. I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking I don't want to go crazy with the Oakland bats, the ISO too, and that's why we roster the A's. We roster them for their power. Freeland's kept the ISO down at 156 against righties and 100 against lefties. I'm kind of just gonna, not that I'm buying it on Kyler Freeland, but I'm buying that he can do enough where I don't have to just like load up on the A's. If you want to play him in tournament, sure, I understand it. It's Coors Field. You should definitely play it, but in cash games, I'm not jamming them in. I should particularly say, and it's not one of my favorite days to just load up on Coors. It doesn't feel like that kind of slate to me. Next game up, Seattle Mariners, Los Angeles Angels. We have an 8.5 total here with Wade LeBlanc against Andrew Heaney. And if you were looking for a sneaky stack today, or a stack just people are not going to play or not be all over, I kind of like this Angels one a little bit. I think against LeBlanc, they could really have their way with Fletcher, Simmons, Trout, Upton, Pujols, Ohtani, Kinsler, Marte. I love the way this lineup is looking now with Ohtani back in there. I think this is a strong spot for these guys. It's going to be 80 degrees out there in LA, wind blowing out. Sure, it's not the best park for hitters, but I do think this could be a really nice stack that people are just not going to play out on the West Coast that you don't have to get much percentage of to be overweight on the field. So I like the Angels stack a lot here. Big fan of them. In cash games, loading up with some of these guys towards the top makes some sense. Like Justin Upton on 3.3Ks is really cheap on FanDuel. That's a price you don't see often on him. You can also get him at 4.1K on DraftKings and Fantasy Draft. You can get him at about 8K, so that's pretty solid. Fletcher, 5.5K. Simmons, 6.8K on Fantasy Draft. Those are phenomenal cash game fillers for this team. I think that's a really good way to go on Fantasy Draft specifically. On DraftKings, you get Fletcher, 2.7. Simmons, 3.4. Just, again, it's a great exposure to this offense for cheap to help you get in the big bats, too. So I like going that route possibly with those guys. It kind of stinks, right, that if you plug in Fletcher and Simmons, you lose out on Arenado and Story, but maybe just play one of them, one on each, right? One of the Coors guys. And then one of those, maybe that helps make things work, condensing those salaries together. But all in all, I really like this Angels team. And hey, Mike Trout, he's always a good option. And people are just not going to play him today, right? It's funny. Mike Trout will go completely unowned because there's so many good hitting options that people are all over. All right, let's go on to the Mariners side of the ball and talk about them. Andrew Heaney, he's not a guy I've been really targeting too much this season. I just think it's a spot where, sure, I see the lefty on the mound, and I think, oh, Nelson Cruz, Mitch Haniger, but 3.61 xFIP, 23.6 K percentage, walk rates at 7%. This is just a spot where I think I'm just going to say, hey, no need for Seattle today. I wouldn't argue if you played Haniger or Cruz as one-offs, right? If you were playing 150 lineups, I'd probably still want to get a piece of those guys, maybe get like a couple percentages just so I don't miss out possibly, but I like Heaney a lot. He's a pretty solid pitcher, and I don't want to be really targeting him too much. Next game up, Arizona Diamondbacks, San Diego Padres is a 7.5 total. We got Zach Greinke against Perdomo. And I just don't like this game. I just don't know what I want to do with it. I think Greinke I'll play, sure. I just don't know if I want to pay that price. 10.7 on DraftKings, 11K on FanDuel, and then 20.5K on Fantasy Draft. It's more of a DraftKings or Fantasy Draft play, I think, for me. If you want to take a shot on it in a tournament, I get it. But that's all I'm really looking to play. I don't really want to play many of these Diamondbacks. Just think they're kind of expensive for my liking. There's other guys I'd rather play in those price tiers. Sure, I don't like Perdomo, and I think we could definitely target him up here, but I don't think it's just the right spot. And I'm just gonna kind of cross off this game and move on, unless it's Greinke as a tournament pivot. But again, there's so many aces already that I've talked about that I probably like more. Last game of the slate, we got the Milwaukee Brewers and San Francisco Giants, and yeah, 7.5 total with Chase Anderson against Madison Bumgarner. Again, look at another ace, another guy to talk about here. And Bumgarner, I'm just not, like, there's just too many aces. Like, I'm crossing him off. This stinks because there's so many good pitchers on this mound today that we're going to miss out on some pitchers in the next couple days. There's going to be some ugly slates. I know yesterday kind of helped with that, but I feel like the next couple days could get kind of ugly now here. But Bumgarner, not going to be a guy I look to play. It does make some sense, though, because, hey, the Brewers, they can strike out a ton, and they're in a really bad ballpark. A really terrible shift for them. So I totally get it if you wanted to take a shot on it, but Not for me. I'm also not playing 150 lineups today, but if you were, you probably don't need much percentage to get overweight on him, and it feels like this last game with Greinke, right? Good top-end pitcher against a pretty good matchup in a good ballpark. Not going to play any of the hitters in any of these games, just no need to target that at all, and I'll just either play Bumgarner and Greinke, maybe get a small percentage of them in your lineups if you're building a lot of teams. But again, it's kind of tough because, hey, there are a lot, and I mean a lot of pitchers on this slate. So that about wraps up the slate, though, for you guys. Really fun one. It's loaded. The hitting's good. The pitching's good. So enjoy. Dive into your research. Try and find the winning team. And hopefully you can have a good night and I can have a good night as well. So for me, Travis Mangone, I'm going to get on out of here. See you guys later.